Stars Today is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
With the third pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blake Bortles, quarterback, Central Florida.
So a guy that's extremely talented, wanted to be here, and, you know, possesses all the physical traits we're looking for.
You know, he's everything we preach. He's a guy that's a highly competitive guy.
This guy loves Jacksonville, and he's excited about this. I'm pumped up to see all you guys here, man. That's great job.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith and Ryan O'Halloran.
Oh, Gus Bradley is just unbelievable. How he turned that crowd last year, I'm telling you, O'Halloran, Ryan O'Halloran joining me from the Times Union, obviously on the Jaguars beat, but I can remember last year was the first time that I heard Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley booed for a decision they had made. And he comes out there, and everyone forgot how upset they were that a quarterback out of Central Florida happened to be the number three pick because Gus Bradley was speaking, and he is just a ray of sunshine everywhere he goes.
They could take me with the third pick tonight, and Gus will turn that crowd around.
Oh, yeah. Gus would step out, and I'm pumped up to see all you guys here, man. Gus is unbelievable. He is just unbelievable. We'll see what they do tonight. That was a year ago that they obviously took Blake Bortles with the number three pick. Unfortunately, stuck with that third pick again, but we don't have to talk about what they will do with that third pick very much longer. Just two more hours today here on Jaguars Today. I know you'll be on with Rick Ballew this afternoon as well as we kick off our coverage live from in the stadium this afternoon at 3 o'clock, getting ready for the draft party. You can still plan to attend. Just print out your tickets before you get here, jaguars.com/draft party. If you want to print out your free tickets to come out here and enjoy it with all the other Jaguars fans here at the stadium. And we'll be live from 3 to 10 tonight, basically covering what's going on with the first round of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll hopefully have the first round pick on the phone this evening. I know we're going to have Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley are going to be speaking after the pick is made. And you can hear them before that pick as well, talking about what they're going through right now. But it's here. It's draft day. Just a little bit longer to have to talk about what they may do with that third pick.
Yeah, it's been a long road, literally. Because, you know, he started at the Senior Bowl when he first got to look at the seniors, then he'd take the process each step of the way. I think they stay put at three. You know, and you're looking at it from the Jaguars' perspective, how far do you want to trade down? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to pick up an extra pick, you can always do that. But if you stay at three, you know, chances are you're going to have your choice of the board, non-quarterbacks, which is a great situation to be in. So, you know, we'll see what they do. You know, I think if it's not Fowler, Williams, Beasley, Cooper, it would be a surprise.
I think so too.
So, and any of those four guys, if that's the card that's turned in, you could say I get it.
Yeah, I think that you could understand all of those. I was talking to this about this a little bit earlier this morning with some of the guys here around the building. It feels like the Jaguars are in a position where the argument you can make for why they should take a wide receiver is almost the same kind of argument you can make for why they should take a defensive end, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the argument for both is essentially the same thing. So we've been, you know, picking hairs here for the last couple of weeks trying to figure out exactly what they're going to be doing with that number three pick. But the argument for both is essentially the same thing. So for me, it comes down to whoever the highest rated player is on their board mm-hmm. should be the pick. Mm-hmm. And Mike and I have been talking about this for the last week or so. If that means that Todd Gurley's the highest rated player on the board, would I have serious questions about why Todd Gurley's the highest rated player on your board? Sure, I would. Why do you have a running back coming off an ACL rated ahead of Leonard Williams and Amari Cooper and Dante Fowler and these other guys? I would have serious questions about that. But if he is the highest rated player on that board, take him. At three. And I think the same thing can be said for any of those other guys. If Leonard Williams is your favorite player in the draft, draft him. If Amari Cooper is your favorite player in the draft, draft him. And you put the grade on them for a reason, and because of the needs that this football team has, you can make an argument for any of those positions to be the pick at three.
And that's why I'm going to stick with Cooper using that philosophy is I think this is a team right now that needs to be a need-based team. And where, what position do you feel you have? What position do you need the difference maker the most? I think they tend to think it's receiver because look at their activity already in free agency where they didn't get Cobb. You know, and they were interested in Jennings. If they wanted him, they probably would have, you know, they would have overpaid for him. Whatever. So they've been obviously in the market for a receiver. You take him, but also if you take Leonard Williams, you're taking what the consensus of teams probably around the league is the best player in the draft. You know, can't argue that pick. So because he's probably the best player in the draft at two positions, which is very rare. So, you know, it's though if it's not one of those two guys, then you start to say, okay, how, what's the fit? You know, with Fowler, is he? You know, he's an Otto slash Leo. Okay, well, how's he going to get on the field, you know, besides third down? You know, how are you going to use him? You know, same thing with Beasley. What's the best situation to play him in? So it's, you know, once you make the pick, you can start being educated on, okay, give me the mechanics of it.
Sure. And I think based on the comments that we heard from Dave Caldwell last week, where he basically said at the luncheon that he felt like he could make a pick that night if he needed to. Like, he knows the guy that he would take in the draft, but that there's still some discussion going on. And he said basically it comes down to, do you want offense or do you want defense? And to me, that means that the argument has come down to Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper. Those would be the two names that I would assume would be that discussion. It could be Dante Fowler. It could be Vic Beasley. I don't know. You know, because he didn't say specifically these are the two names. I would be surprised if anybody on offense besides Amari Cooper would be the name that they were discussing in that kind of manner. If it was Kevin White or Todd Gurley, I'd be shocked if it was one of those guys that they were discussing like that. But there are two or three names you could put out there on the defensive side of the ball. And I didn't even get a sense of which way Caldwell was leaning when he said, I know which guy I want to take. There's just a discussion going on. I didn't get the sense that he was saying, I'm with Cooper, but some guys that really want Williams, or I'm with Williams, but some guys are really banging the table for Cooper.
Well, I found a comical a Pro Football Talk post this morning saying, claiming that Gus is, you know, is Fowler and Dave is Cooper. Well, then the pick's going to be Cooper. You know, this is Dave Caldwell's draft board. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, the comment that stuck with me after they signed the first boatload of free agents was, their offseason mantra was, how can you help Blake Bortles? Granted, I get the arguments that, you know, a pass rusher can create turnovers, create pressures, et cetera, which is what they need to do. But, you know, a receiver will score touchdowns and be a threat. The only thing is, it all depends on how their board stacks up, is maybe in the second round, do they feel they'll be able to get a good pass rusher or a good receiver? You know, whatever they think is better at that point is obviously going to impact what they take in the first round.
Sure.
And Gurley would be awesome. I mean, I think the only scenario is if they trade down into the, you know, 12, 13, 14 range, and they have another first-round pick to play with. But if they don't take, you know, obviously not a running back tonight, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take a running back until Saturday. Mm-hmm. I've been on the stump for saying, hey, second round, you know, minimum third round, because you never know when the crop is going to be diluted. So once we get through tonight is really when the nuts and bolts will start falling into place.
I know a lot of people trying to put together the pieces based on, you know, what happened in free agency, what this team went after. They obviously went hard after Randall Cobb. He re-signs with Green Bay. They didn't really pursue any pass rushers. Well, the two pass rushers that were really available in free agency potentially were Jason Pierre-Paul, who wound up back in New York, and Greg Hardy, who, with all the off-field stuff, who knows how interested the Jaguars were going to be in that player at all. But those were the two guys that were pass rushers that were really available in free agency. Did they go after a wide receiver? Sure. Now, I would make the argument potentially that maybe they went after a wide receiver because they felt like they knew what they were doing at number three in the draft, mm-hmm. and that they were going to get a guy to play that pass rush position in the position they were in at number three. Does the fact that they didn't get Cobb or Jennings or any of those guys maybe change their mind a little bit about what they did? Potentially, but for me, I'm still leaning defensive end because of what I saw them do in free agency, never really going after a pass rusher. They get an auto and Dan Scuda, but that's not a pass rush position for them necessarily. They need to find that Leo guy. Now, Vic Beasley seems to fit that a little bit more than Dante Fowler does. I know a lot of fans out there would like to see Vic Beasley be the number three pick. I still don't know how comfortable I am with that.
Yeah, and you know, was play off the if you signed a guy in free agency, does that mean you're looking ahead of the draft? Well, you signed Odrick to big money,
sure,
to play that
sure,
big defensive end spot. Well, does that mean they didn't think Leonard Williams was going to be there, even be available to consider? You know, how many big guys do you need? So it's the most fascinating guy that they could take tonight in terms of how to use him would be Williams. How much do you play him at the 3 technique? How much do you play him at the 4, be the big end spot? So it obviously gives them a lot of options that they haven't had here in the past, but that's what happens when you draft in the top 10 7 straight years.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been outside. You know, it's been a while since we got to get into hour 2, 2.5 to see what the Jaguars are going to be doing in a draft, and I think it'll happen again soon. I don't know how soon, but soon.
It's going to happen.
That's right. We'll be waiting until the back end of the draft to figure out exactly what the Jags are doing. If you're wondering, where is Mike Dempsey? Well, Mike Dempsey is in Chicago. He's up there with SiriusXM getting ready for some fantasy radio tonight, and they'll be focused in on wherever Amari Cooper goes. Maybe that is here to Jacksonville, where they'll be talking about the fantasy impact of Amari Cooper coming to the Jaguars and Blake Bortles. But he will join us next as we'll go live to Chicago a couple times today, once with Mike Dempsey in a couple moments, and again a little bit later on with Brent Martineau, who's been up there for a couple days. Now, we had the opportunity to go to that Play 60 event yesterday, meet some of these prospects, talk to them a little bit about the draft process and getting ready for it, especially with it being in Chicago this year as compared to New York. What is the different feel? We'll talk to Mike Dempsey. The fan feedback spotlight question of the day today. It's simple. Draft day's here, people. It's here. We don't have to wonder for very much longer what the Jags are going to be doing with that number 3 pick. So the question simply is, what do you want to see them do tonight with that number 3 pick? Is there a player that you really want to see them take? Do you want to see a trade down? You can include specific scenarios if you'd like, but you can get back at us on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, also on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. We will get to some of your responses a little bit later on the program. What do you want to see happen with that number 3 pick tonight? I'm sure that's a question that we'll be asking Mike Dempsey as he joins us next, live from Chicago, up there for the NFL draft as we roll along here on a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Oh, it's here. It's draft day.
Chicago.
Yeah, little Chicago coming back. After all, that is where the draft is this year instead of New York. Mike finally gets to make the trip, and it's to Chicago instead of New York. I know how much you love the city of New York, Dempsey, as he joins us on the phone. How's the city of Chicago treating you about 12 hours in?
12 hours in, I can't complain. I can see the lake and a big Ferris wheel outside my window here, downtown Chicago, Tony. It was the only way they could get me to the second city, though, was to have the NFL draft here, and they succeeded. And every day is not the 4th of July, like Chicago said. Today is Christmas, at least the opening part of Christmas for NFL fans everywhere, including the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it sounds like you've already had a little bit of fun in the city of Chicago, Mike, if I'm being honest with you. It's funny, you are a completely rational person.
Yes.
You are a rational person when you're here in Jacksonville or down in St. Augustine. You don't go out much. Something happens to you when you get on a plane, my friend.
What happens is I'm staying in a hotel. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm not with the family. I'm not in daddy mode. And so we got here yesterday. We landed about 7 o'clock, went out to dinner with some, folks from, NFL radio and dinner turned into cocktails and we talked business deep into the night, Tony.
All right, let's get down to it, Mike. Who throws the first curveball tonight?
Who throws the first curveball?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if somebody trades up into number 2, that's somewhat of a curveball because it will mix up the order. I mean, the Jags could throw the first curveball, right? I mean, who depends on what you define as a curveball. Is Amari Cooper a curveball? Because I think that it's not. Well, I don't think they're going to go outside of, if they stay at 3, I don't think they're going to go outside of the expected group of Williams, Fowler, Cooper. Those three guys right now. That would be my bet. So I don't think they would throw a curveball. I don't think Oakland's going to throw much of a curveball. I think Washington could trade down, and it depends on who moves up there. I guess, you know, is Kevin White to the Bears a curveball? I don't think so. I mean, that's tough. The Giants are always a little unpredictable at times. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the Jets. Let's leave it to the Jets, because the Jets, the only thing missing will be Jets fans in abundance and attendance booing whoever the Jets pick. So likely they will pick somebody that people think who clearly is not the best player on the board or leave you head scratching for another reason or two.
It certainly feels like, as we're, you know, just hours away from the draft now, really in the last 24, 36 hours, it's become more and more certain, it feels like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going quarterback and then Tennessee is going quarterback. And I think any other result at this point would probably surprise people a little bit tonight, Mike.
I don't think that it's locked in that Tennessee will go quarterback. I think if they stay there, it's likely they'll go quarterback. But I think trading out of there is definitely in play. The question is, you know, they're trying to hold each other, teams hostage against each other a little bit right now. Are they going to get the windfall that they're looking for? I mean, you continue to read reports that Chip Kelly is working behind the scenes feverishly to put together the pieces necessary to entice Tennessee to give them a shot at Mariota, and that Cleveland has been serious about it, offering already their first two picks, the 12th and 19th. And you figure once you get that far and you're kind of mentally committed that we would make that leap, and you feel that Mariota's your guy, if you're Cleveland, what's to stop you from adding more? I mean, what is the value of getting a franchise quarterback and not getting one if you believe that guy is the guy? Would you throw in another second or a third round pick? And I think that's why Tennessee right now is in the catbird seat. I think, Tony, if they were committed to taking Mariota themselves, I think a lot of this trade talk would have died down at this point. Because while the Bucs say they're open for business, nobody really believes it. And I think if Tennessee was really on board with Mariota, that we'd have more reports along those lines. But again, I think he's going second, whether it's Tennessee or somebody else. I just think somebody else is definitely still in play.
Maurice Jones-Drew said the other day he expects 3 to 4 running backs to go in round one. He may be the only one.
and running back touchdowns will now be valued at 10 points next year, Ryan, as well.
Boy, MJD come out of retirement for that one. Who would be, like, let's say, you know, barring where they go after Gordon and Gurley, who would be your number 3 and number 4 running backs?
You know, I'm not a huge Tevin Coleman guy because, again, this is more going on scouting reports than anything else, that, you know, he's a tremendous athlete, and you don't get as many breakaway runs in the National Football League as he built on his resume. And the Jai kind of scares me. I don't know how the Jags or any other team feels about his knee, but there's enough concern there that I think, you know, a guy like Duke Johnson, and again, at the right spot. I'm talking about the sweet spot for me is the third pick for the Jags, the top of the third round, whether it's Duke Johnson or TJ Yeldon. I like David Cobb out of Minnesota because, based on the scouting reports, he's a really good fit for his own blocking scheme, which the Jags are still going to try to employ a lot of those principles. And they, you know, built part of their line with that in mind. So, you know, there are a number of guys. And, you know, I don't want them to take one at 36. I don't think that's going to be the value at 36. Won't be shocked if they do, if they go, say, Fowler or Cooper with the third overall pick. But there's none that I love at the 36 pick. So most of the guys I like are for a round later.
A lot of fans out there want to see the Jags trade out of that 3 spot if they possibly can. I know I've heard them say Cleveland at 12 and 19. What is your sense as, again, we're just 9.5 hours or so away from this thing getting going, maybe 11.5, I don't, 10.5, I can't count time.
9.5
hours from this thing getting started. But I'm sitting in your chair and all of a sudden I can't do math, Mike. But
you see, it's not me, Tony, it's the chair.
No,
and by the way, I'm in the central time zone, so I am law. I have just 1 hour and my whole day is thrown off.
But the idea of Cleveland with that 12 and 19th pick trying to get up with the Jags there at number 3, based on the conversations that you and I have had with Dave Caldwell, I don't sense that as something that they want to do, because it would put them outside of that range to go get what they consider one of the premier players in this draft. Do you think that's enough when we get to draft night for them to potentially move outside of the top 8 to 10 picks?
Well, first of all, I don't think Cleveland would be a trade partner unless Mariota doesn't go number 2. I don't think Cleveland's coming up for anything else other than a quarterback. So I think Cleveland is probably off the board, because I think in some combination, Mariota goes number 2, be it Tennessee or somebody else. But hypothetically, would that be enough? I tend to agree with you. You know, Dave Caldwell's true to his word. He'd rather have that one stud guy than a couple of really good guys. And, you know, it depends on how you define that, and depends on who you list as your stud guys. Maybe he's got a guy that he thinks, wow, this guy is a home run, and nobody is considering him for the Jags. I'm not talking about Todd Gurley. I'm talking about maybe something completely different in that realm. And if he feels confident he could get a guy like that at 12, I don't know how confident you can be. You know, it's different than drafting a quarterback last year. There was no way they were going to take a chance to not get Bortles because they loved him. Maybe you'd risk it a little bit more for a non-quarterback type player. You guys probably saw Lachan Bora's mock draft today. He had New Orleans trading up, giving the 13th and the 31st. I don't know what else the compensation would be to come up and get Leonard Williams. That, to me, at least, made a little bit more sense, because they'd be targeting a guy who likely is going to be there based on what we know at this moment. I think it would take more than 13 and 31 to come up and get the Jags' number 3 overall pick, though. That's my sense.
No, I get the same sense. I don't think that would be enough. All right, Mike, a couple more minutes here left with you. Let's go through scenarios now. All right? Let's say it does go quarterback. 1, 2. What do the Jags do at 3?
If I have to guess, I'm going to say Leonard Williams as of right now.
If it goes quarterback Leonard Williams, what do the Jags do at 3?
Amari Cooper.
If it goes, I assume it would be Leonard Williams if they go quarterback Amari Cooper to Tennessee.
Leonard Williams.
All right. And
I think
they'll
take Leonard Williams if he's there right now, and I think Amari Cooper would be the fallback. That's my guess.
And what do you think the odds are that they get traded out of that third spot?
10%.
10%?
Give you one more.
10%.
Odds they stay at 3 and then trade back into the 20s. Trade up into the 20s.
2%.
All right.
I don't think with only 7 draft picks that they're going to package multiple picks to come up and get another guy, because I think the fall off, the kind of, now certainly they may love a guy that they feel is falling run, but I got to believe at 36 is a pretty sweet spot if you want to grab a running back, if you want to go wide receiver, if you passed on one the first time around. Maybe you can sit there and get an Eli Harold. Maybe you can get a guy that you like to come in and play free safety right away. You know, there are a number of those guys that are potentially Demaryius Randall may go in the first round, but Eric Lowe out of Utah. So between all that, I think the likelihood is extremely small that they make a move like that. Yeah, I know you want them to. I know you want to come back in and get Melvin Gordon or whichever running back is your choice, but I don't know. I can't see him pulling it off tonight.
It would make for a fun first night of coverage for O'Halloran, I think, is what he's really angling for.
That'd be cool.
I hope they trade back, guys. I really do. I hope they trade back, because then they're going to get more picks. They're going to have more players. They're going to have more darts to throw at the board. And they're going to fall back into a range where, based on Caldwell's philosophy, he still feels he can get an impact difference maker. I don't think he takes himself out of that range. So I love 6 or 8 to be the landing spot, Jets and Falcons to come on up if they want to, have the Jags still land an impact player there. And by the way, in Lachan Forrest mock, the Jags ended up with Gurley and Breshad Perriman with 13 and 31. I think they'd probably take that combo right now instead of having the third pick, don't you?
Yeah, I think they probably would. I'm not sure Breshad Perryman's going to be there at 31.
I agree.
But we've heard.
Sure.
How about Aguilar at 31?
Now you're teasing me. Aguilar's been my guy at 36, and there's now apparently no prayer he's getting outside like the top 25 picks. A lot of people think Philadelphia's in love with him at 20. I've seen him mock to the Houston Texans at 16. I think Aguilar would be a dream scenario for them to get him with the second pick, wherever their second pick ends up.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, I know we're going to talk to you again tomorrow after the pick is made, but what do you got coming up in Chicago tonight?
Tonight I'll be checking in with the Bud Light Jaguar Draft Party. Frank Frangie will be hosting that along with a cast of many. from Everbank Field, and I'll be checking in throughout the afternoon on all the various shows. And then tonight I do 5 hours in Sirius XM from Grant Park, which is right outside the venue where the actual picks are going to be made. There's a whole bunch of us up here, including Maurice Jones-Drew, is going to be broadcasting with me tonight and tomorrow night. So about 10 hours. I've got a long time to get ready for a five-hour show tonight, Tony. I think that involves probably getting a little early morning nap in.
Yes, I got one of those coming up. I got one of those coming up too later.
I love it.
All right, Mike. Have fun.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
See you, Mike. Talk to you again tomorrow. As Mike Dempsey on with us live from Chicago.
This NFL Draft Update with Mike Dempsey on 1010XL live from Chicago is brought to you by the Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, we'll talk to Mike again tomorrow after the pick is made, and mercifully it'll be after the pick is made. As draft season will end and it'll just be draft time as we'll be getting ready for whatever the Jags are going to be doing in the second and third rounds. Potentially, that is if they don't trade back in mm-hmm. to the end of the first round, because if they do that, odds are they're not picking in the second or third round.
And Mike mentioned the receivers, and I think that's an interesting scenario is, let's say, you know, Cooper's obviously going high, you know, White's going high, but let's say there's a run of guys that starts going in the teens, mm-hmm. and then Dave Caldwell's guys say, okay, I was thinking about a receiver at 36, but I don't think those guys are going to be there. Better move up, and that would make late tonight very interesting. It'd make tomorrow night a little less interesting, but you know, I think the state of their roster and what he told me last week we had in the Times Union is he feels okay trading a pick. Trading a couple picks to move up, you know, trading a 2-for-1, two picks for one pick.
Which is not a position they've been in a lot. So they had a lot of ammunition in the draft last year where they could go back into the second round and go get another wide receiver, where they could get back into the third round where they felt like they could get Linder. And, you know, those picks at least right now look like they're working out mm-hmm. for this franchise. But they don't have that ammunition this year. Yeah. So if they're doing it, they really are basically giving away a lot to get back in. You'd have to really like that player.
I mean, right now they pretty much can only afford to move up once.
You yeah.
Eat it in the third into the second, fourth into the third, because after that you're running out of things that people want.
Right, and it depends on what they do with that third pick too. Like I said, the argument for why they should take wide receiver and that Leo are about the same to me. So say they wind up taking Amari Cooper at number 3 and they're watching a guy like Randy Gregory slip and slip and slip and slip and slip, and say he gets into the mid-20s and they're like, there's some price point where they're like, this guy's worth it to us because of what he can give us as a Leo and the value of that pick. I could see them trying to get back into the first round to go get a guy like Randy Gregory. I could also see the opposite. If they drafted Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley, if they feel like there's one receiver they really like, yeah. they're at the top of the second round and he's fallen to him, and there is some run coming on wide receivers where they're like, all right, we got to go. If we're going to get this guy, we got to do it now. It all works together. The arguments for both those positions are so similar this
year.
Yeah,
and that is exactly how they came up with Linder last year, and is the guard crop was dwindling. Mm-hmm. So they had to make a move to get a guy, and it worked out.
Yeah. How would you feel, Jackson, if you walked out of tonight with, I don't know, Amari Cooper and Randy Gregory? Like, if everything was said and done, you walked away with Cooper and Gregory, or say was Leonard Williams and Nelson Aguilar or something like that. The possibility of that kind of thing happening is there for this football team tonight. I don't expect that to be the way it works out. I don't particularly think they're going to be able to get out of that number 3 spot for the value that they want
yeah,
for it.
That's
and
why
I don't
think they're going to stay.
I don't sense that they're going to go back into the first round because of where they are mm-hmm. in the second round. I think they'll probably wait unless they feel like there is a great value out there. For
yeah,
them.
I mean, you know, when they get to like picks 22 to 24, I mean, they'll look at the board, and if they see a guy that, oh, I can't believe he's still there, or we don't think he's going to be there tomorrow night, then they make a move. But I think a more likely scenario would be coming away tomorrow night with 2 seconds.
Sure, sure. And if you think we're done talking draft, you're crazy. We're not done. Britt Martineau from Chicago is still coming up here in about 40 minutes. We got this date in football history, as well as the Honda driver on the NFL a little bit later on. But we will talk about the number 3 pick and the scenarios that we see happening. Some of those scenarios we just kicked around with Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and I will kick around here in just a moment as we roll along here on a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Amari Cooper is a lot better than any receiver on Jacksonville's roster.
Yeah.
And I believe that if you're going to make the investment in the quarterback, you have to compliment him with the pieces, give him the confidence so he can have a
career.
Those are the comments of Chris Carter this morning on Mike and Mike. He obviously is a big Amari Cooper fan. And he's not the only former wide receiver around the league who loves Amari Cooper and says that he's much better than Kevin White or any of the other options that may be available at wide receiver in this year's draft. I know Jimmy Smith has said the same thing before. And we also talked to Jimmy last week, and he volunteered that, yeah, if he was picking a three, he'd take a defensive end. Despite how much he likes Cooper, he would go D-end with that number three pick. Can't get enough defensive and offensive linemen. That's what a lot of the people who have played in the league say. But Chris Carter obviously stumping there for Amari Cooper to be the number three pick in this year's draft. Fat Tony here with you. Mike Dempsey up in Chicago. He'll be back with us on Monday. He will join me tomorrow to talk about whatever happens tonight for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ryan O'Halloran alongside as well as we are here. It is draft day. If you want to get involved with the fan feedback spotlight question today, we're asking what do you want to see happen with that number three pick tonight for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can get in at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars today. We'll get to some of your answers a little bit later on in the show. Right now, though, let's get out to the phone lines for the first time today and let's talk to IBM number two. What's up, IBM?
Hey, man. I don't care what Chris Carter says. We don't need a receiver. We don't need Amari Cooper. We got decent receiver with a decent quarterback. I mean, it's the same difference in my mind between Waters and Jameis Winston. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to make a decision to get something like that, I mean, Waters and Jameis Winston are the same thing, so you shouldn't need either one.
All right, IBM, appreciate the call. I'm not sure exactly how what they have at wide receiver equates to what's going on with Jameis Winston potentially being the number three pick.
Well, he got the call got off to a decent start, and his opinion is he feels they don't need receiver help. I would disagree because, and ultimately the team disagrees because they're going to take one. Maybe not at three, maybe not at 36, but at some point in the first two nights of the draft, they're going to take a receiver because they feel like they, and I'll preface this by saying because they do, they have a ton of confidence in Robinson, Lee, and Hearns that they're going to make the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But they also feel like they need somebody else to sort of complete that circle. And it's a guy who can play inside. And if it's in the second and third round, it's a guy who can play inside and maybe return a punt and a kick. So, you know, they feel I expect them to address it.
No, they're going to address it at some point in this draft, whether it's a number three or somewhere else. There's a reason they go after a Randall Cobb as hard as they did, right? There's a reason they have Greg Jennings in for a visit. There are reasons for them to do that, and it's because they feel like they can still improve to some degree in that area. Now, I know you're for Amari Cooper at number three tonight. Do you feel then that Amari Cooper is, you know, that great one in this year's class? He is the guy who's going to be going to 6 to 8 Pro Bowls. He's a difference maker for you.
Well, I think he's a difference maker, playmaker. The Pro Bowl stuff will depend on if they win games. But I think he'll help them win games. But I think he's the better fit of the two guys for the Jaguars between him and White. You know, if it was last year and they're drafting receiver, they probably say, well, we only have a deep threat. Kevin White, probably a guy who can really, really run. I think they like the fact that Cooper can line up inside, does a lot of stuff over the middle, great red zone guy, goes up and gets it. So you got three red zone threats on the field at the same time if you want to with Lewis, Thomas, and Cooper. So I think there's a lot of positives to what he would bring to the field.
Do you like the player Amari Cooper more than you like Williams, Fowler, Beasley?
Well, I'm an offensive guy, so I sort of lean on that one. I think I score touchdowns. If you said, okay, which defensive player do you take? I think you go. I would go with Fowler because he adds that instant pass rushing dynamic over Williams, who you know, may take a little time to do that. Granted, he'll play in a different system here than he did at SC. But if you go with Fowler, then you have an instant Leo, and then after that it's dependent, okay, what do you want him to, what do you want him to work at? So I think, you know, if you know, you were talking about scenarios, you know, if they came in and told me right now, okay, we, you know, Tennessee's taking Cooper, or okay, we're not going to take him, I would say, okay, well, then maybe Fowler's your choice.
No, I mean, he could be, and that's kind of where I've been this whole time. It's why I asked the question the way I did, is I feel like you take Amari Cooper because he's the highest rated player on your board, and you feel like he is that, just that next great talent, right? Like, he is better than Leonard Williams. He is better than Dante Fowler. He is better than Vic Beasley. And I'm looking at Amari Cooper, and I don't personally see that, right? Like, I just don't see that from Amari Cooper. I do feel that way about Leonard Williams if he's available there at three. I think that if Leonard Williams isn't there, then it becomes a really difficult decision for me, even, because I don't know how I feel about Fowler and Beasley compared to Cooper, because they're all kind of in the same mix. Now, am I a little bit nervous about adding another young wide receiver to an already really young group of wide receivers? Yeah, and maybe that's part of it too, but I've never felt like in this entire draft process, like Amari Cooper, I look at him and say, that's the difference maker in this draft. I've never felt that way about Cooper. I know a lot of people do feel that way about Cooper, and that would be the only circumstance under which I would draft him. If I was going to have to take a guess, and I felt the same way about a wide receiver and defensive ends for this football team, I would take my stab at a defensive end because I feel like they need to have a guy that is potentially a scary pass rush threat, and that helps them more than getting another wide receiver when they already have a young group of receivers they feel pretty good about.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have a ton of, I mean, you'd always want to add a veteran receiver, and they tried to do that, but if once they add one this weekend, I think Allen Robinson is going to emerge as the heartbeat of that room.
I do too.
So, and that's just off the field and on the field. So I think he's a leader in the making, and I think he'll be able to handle that part. Yeah, we sort of like our war room. We've whittled it down to four names.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we may all be wrong.
For me, it's five. I don't think Bud Dupree's the guy there at number three, but I certainly think that if they are seriously considering a trade back to number eight, say with Atlanta, it's because a name like Bud Dupree is in play, and I love his athleticism. I know that he doesn't know the game of football well enough to be the number three pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Really, I can't even go out on the limb and say that kind of thing, but I think that he's a really, really talented guy, freak of an athlete, and the potential of him getting in the right system with the right kind of coaching is really interesting to me. I say it every year, I'm going to pick one guy that's kind of going to be my guy in that draft. I think Bud Dupree this year has turned into my guy.
So Dupree's your guy, Aguilar is Mike's guy.
Yeah.
I don't have a guy.
You don't have a guy?
No.
Amari Cooper?
Okay, I'll take Amari Cooper.
You got Amari Cooper. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Jerome has dialed us up at 641-1010. How are you today, Jerome?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Good. That's good to hear. I just want to say, I think if Williams is there, you got to take Williams because you're in the division with Andrew Luck, and you've got to get pressure on him. Otherwise, he's just going to sit back there and just tear us apart. And he's the only quarterback in our division, and I think winning the division is the most important thing rather than playoffs or anything. Win the division and then you're in. So they got to handle the division, which is pressure the quarterback, and that's Luck. And I think we got to get through the Colts. Now, if Leonard Williams is gone, I could see us going to Amari, because he could be also the kick return specialist, punt return, and come in and be the slot receiver. I think you can get an immediate impact out of him rather than Dante Fowler, which I think Fowler would have to play behind, what, Scuda or something like that. So, I mean, he would probably be in on third downs or something or in special teams, but I think Amari Cooper or Leonard Williams would be the best. Well, in your opinion.
And on your theory, if Williams is gone, wouldn't you take, you know, you wouldn't want to take Fowler, who could have an impact on pressuring the quarterback? Or do you think he's just a little not far enough along? But caller's gone.
I guess Jerome is gone.
Jerome's gone.
No, and again, that goes back to when I said the argument can be it's about the same for defensive end and wide receiver. See, there's another one of these arguments. It needs to be a defensive end because we got Andrew Luck in the division. And the argument for wide receiver is, well, we need to go get a wide receiver because we drafted Blake. Like, there are reasons to vet for both of those positions.
It all ends up at the quarterback.
Right, and it all ends up at the quarterback eventually. And whether it's your quarterback or the opposing quarterback, I look at it as, look, I know there are people out there who vehemently disagree with me about this. I don't think Cooper is a difference-making talent. If he is, I'm wrong, right? And if they draft him, then it's obviously because Dave Caldwell believes he's a difference-making talent in this draft, and he knows a lot more about it than I do. I don't believe that about Amari Cooper, and because of that, I wouldn't draft him at number three. I would be looking at Williams and then figuring out which other pass rusher I would want to draft in this year's at that number three spot or moving down to a point that I'm comfortable with to still go get one of those guys. That's what I would be looking to do, but that's because of what I believe about what Amari Cooper is, more so than anything else. You know, it's just that's how I feel about that specific player. I don't think he's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to draft a receiver at number three, you have to believe he's a difference maker. And again, I could be completely wrong. Let's squeeze Tom in, too, before we get to this date in football history at 641-1010. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I listen in every day, actually the day after, on the Jaguars podcast. First time calling. I was just wondering, I know we've invested a lot of draft capital in wide receivers the last year and a lot of free agency dollars in the defensive line. What do you guys think gets teams to the playoffs? An elite wide receiving core or an elite defensive line?
Both
6-1 half than as the other. I think the way you asked that question, I think you're leaning toward you want defensive line addressed. You got to score touchdowns. You got to get to the quarterback. You got to create turnovers. They don't do any of those things well right now.
No.
So that's why you can defend a lot of these picks tonight.
No, you can. And I know the Giants get brought up a lot for the fans of the you draft defensive line and draft defensive line and draft defensive line. Well, yeah, they made two runs to the Super Bowl, and the D-line was great in both those runs. You know what else happened? Eli Manning played out of his mind in two Super Bowl runs. Right? I mean, that happened too.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Today on this date in football history, it is April 30th. Dave Meggett, 49 years old today. Look at that little Meggett run. One of the most popular calls from Chris Berman. Former Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Troy Williamson turns 32 years old. Obviously a first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings before he came here to Jacksonville. Care to guess how many receptions Troy Williamson had here in 2 years in Jacksonville, Ryan L?
19.
Eight.
Oh.
Eight receptions in his 2 years here in Jacksonville. And finally, just to remind you, if Troy Williamson isn't enough of a warning about what happens in the NFL draft, when everything is said and done, it doesn't matter where you draft guys sometimes. How about the number two pick in the 2009 draft? 29 years old today, Jason Smith, the offensive tackle out of Baylor, no longer in the league. The number two, yeah, the number two overall pick in the draft in 2009. 32 years young today, not playing football. Didn't play football anywhere last year. He was out of the league 2 years ago after being the number two pick in the 2009 draft. Nobody knows what's going to happen with these guys once they get into the National Football League. That is this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Pro Football Talk is reporting the Jaguars may be torn between Dante Fowler Jr. and Amari Cooper. According to the PFT report, the thinking is Coach Gus Bradley wants Dante Fowler, while GM Dave Caldwell wants Amari Cooper. Again, that's a report coming from ProFootballTalk.com. No one is too sure what the Titans are doing at number two, but Mike Freeman from the Bleacher Report says he talked to a team executive earlier today who told him the Titans were asking for three number one picks for the second overall pick in tonight's draft. Also, Albert Breer reported on NFL AM on the NFL Network this morning. The Redskins are aggressively trying to trade down from the number five spot to add more picks to their current tally of seven selections. Breer says there's no question that the Redskins would like to trade down. The question is whether or not they're going to get value in doing so. And that is all for the Honda Drive around the NFL.
All right, yeah, there's obviously a lot of scuttlebutt out there. I love that word. You can't use it very often, but scuttlebutt out there about the draft coming up tonight. Look, I don't know who the Jaguars are torn between. I have no idea.
Well, I think the there's a good line here. I think the tearing is over. They've debated it. I mean, I think they have their scenarios in mind. I don't think there's anything left for them to talk about because there's only so many scenarios that can precede the third pick.
Right.
And they've gone over everyone.
Right.
So the only reason they're going to wait to turn in that card tonight is just see if the phone rings.
Sure.
So
you don't think I like to imagine the scenario where the Jags get on the clock, right? And say it goes quarterback, 1-2. And so they get on the clock and Dave Caldwell is on the phone with their guy up in Chicago. And he's
Mike Perkins.
Right. And he's like, hey, Mike, I think we know what we're going to do. And then he just looks over that one guy at the table. He's like, any last words? He's like, you have one more shot to sway me here, buddy. Yeah. Like, I like to imagine that scenario. I don't think that's how it works in war rooms, but I love to imagine that's how it works.
I think from what I've like been told about war rooms, that happens more later in the draft when, like, hey, are you good? Hey, you know, are you good with this pick?
Right.
You know, anything on the trade front? No. You good with this pick? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, turn the card in.
Yeah.
Okay, you have some doubts. Okay, what are your doubts? That happened. That has to happen very quickly.
Yeah, it's late in drafts when you hear about these diamond in the rough players that some guy was sent to scout, right? Mm-hmm. And he feels like he's really strong on this guy. And that's the story that comes out 5 years later that he's like, yeah, I left this organization because I was in that room screaming for this guy. And look at him now. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He's a star in this league. And I told them all. I told them all exactly what he was going to be, and they ignored me. So he wound up leaving that organization. Those are the kind of stories you get, but it's position coaches, that kind of thing, that start fighting for their guys a little bit later on in the draft. I got a feeling, look, when they get on the clock at 3, unless a trade comes in, they know what they're doing. Right now, they know what they're doing with that number 3 pick, and they know the scenarios that could be coming before them, so they have to be comfortable with it now.
I was talking to Dave Caldwell a couple of days ago, and I got done with a little chat, and I said I didn't even ask you to tell me who you're gonna pick. Aren't you proud of me? And he says, yeah, not bad. You're growing. And I said, well, then just tell me. He goes, do you have to wait like everybody else? Because all they talked about right now is scenarios. Mm-hmm. Whereas last year they sort of felt they knew their guy was going to be available at 3.
Sure. And they weren't going to move off that spot. They were unwilling to get out of 3 because the guy they were targeting was the quarterback.
Yeah, and ultimately, there are no sure things in the draft, but I think the reason they stay at 3 is this: you just have a better chance of getting, you're pretty much going to have most likely the pick of anybody you want. Why give up that opportunity?
Sure.
Unless it's just an offer that's too good to refuse, and it only pushes you down to 5-6 picks.
Right. So it would be the Jets and the Falcons are the most common, you know, the teams that are talked about most often with that kind of thing.
The Rams are at 9.
Rams are at 10.
Rams are at 10. That's
right on the edge.
That would be the edge.
Yeah.
Because if you're the Rams and if you think you need a receiver and you love Kevin White, probably got to get ahead of Oakland.
Yeah. I mean,
or Chicago.
You're talking 8 players at that point.
Yeah.
That
to me, that's too far.
Right. That you have to be comfortable with that being available to you there at number 10. That's a lot to ask.
And the 4 guys and the 5 guys, because I'll throw Beasley, Williams, Fowler, Cooper. That's 4. Those guys are all gone by then.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to really like somebody else
to
be able to do that.
You got to really like either probably Devontae Parker
or Bud
Dupree, you know, that type of guy, which is, I think Atlanta makes some sense because I do think you can make a list of 5 or 6,
mm-hmm.
right? That you can see where the Jags would be, especially if Leonard Williams goes 2, where they'd be like, all right, you know, we feel pretty comfortable with this list of 6 guys. If Atlanta really is desperate to come up and get Dante Fowler, we feel good about the player we're going to get at 8.
Because remember last week, Dave said that they'd zoned in on 5 guys. Well, that takes you from picks 3 to 8.
Mm.
Because obviously 2 of them aren't the quarterbacks.
Right.
So that's like, you know, so you do your math, and if they trade down from 3 to 8, they're still comfortable getting one of those guys. So I 8 is the edge. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think 8's the edge too. And I know Peter King put out his mock draft this morning where the Atlanta Falcons moved up to 3 to go get Dante Fowler after both quarterbacks came off the board. Jags going back down to 8, and it was Bud Dupree was the name they took. Leonard Williams, I'm pretty sure, went to Oakland in that scenario. Vic Beasley, I think, went to Chicago. Amari Cooper was somewhere in there, 6 or 7, and Kevin White to Chicago. But it wasn't.
That would be interesting if
someone else moved into 6, but I can't remember who.
It would be interesting if two receivers go in the top 8 and Oakland and Jacksonville don't take either one.
Right.
So,
well, we talked to a guy out in Oakland yesterday who basically said, look, if Leonard Williams is there at 4, that's their guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pick that the Oakland Raiders are going to make. It's kind of funny with a guy like Leonard Williams. When the whole draft discussion started, you know, months ago now, when it started, it was like, man, it'd really be nice if they found a way to get Leonard Williams to fall to 3. Like, that was the discussion when all this got started, and now everyone's trying to convince themselves why Leonard Williams shouldn't be the pick.
Yeah, that
at
was
number 3.
I mean, that was the talk, like, before the national title game.
Yeah.
When, Mariota hadn't declared yet, and Jameis was coming out. And, so it shows you how much things change.
Yeah, there was this assumption that Jameis Winston is going number 1 to Tampa. The Titans are going to take Leonard Williams, and now what are we left with? Like, that was the discussion at the time, and now it feels like it's going to go quarterback, and everyone's trying to convince themselves why Leonard Williams isn't the guy, and nothing that has happened in this process has hurt the evaluation of Leonard Williams. He's still exactly as dominant as he was when they finished the season. Nothing was bad on him. Anyone who went to see him at any of his workouts was like, wow, look at this guy. You watch his tape, people talk about he has NFL hands already, hadn't even played a down in the NFL. Nothing has knocked Leonard Williams, but there's something that happens with you get hyped about players over the course of that month, and a guy like Leonard, who's sitting at the top when everything starts, often finds himself in the eyes of fans at least getting knocked down a little bit because they get excited about other guys like Amari Cooper or whoever else.
I mean, like last year, you remember, every Jadeveon Clowney was picked and prodded every which way for several months, and he still ended up being the guy.
Yeah.
So, with rare exceptions is, everybody's going to – the main guys are going to stay the main guys. So, but there can always be a Sharif Floyd situation where a guy just tumbles down.
No, there certainly could be, but Leonard Williams is not.
He's not that guy.
No, Leonard Williams is going to be going in the first 4 picks of tonight's draft. I feel very confident Leonard Williams is going in the first 4 picks of tonight's draft. I don't see him falling beyond that. And honestly, I think he's the best player in this year's NFL draft. And if the Jags get the opportunity to take him at 3, like I've said the whole time, I would take him. If Leonard Williams is there at 3, I would take him. If the Atlanta Falcons want to make a trade to come get Dante Fowler or whoever and you feel good about 5 players, I'd have to seriously consider that, right? But it depends on how good I feel about Leonard Williams, too, because, again, you're talking about me passing up in the 3rd spot in the draft what I feel like may be the best player in this draft.
Hey, Dave, Thomas Dimitroff. Hey, Thomas. Hey, we want that pick. Dave goes, all right, we want your first rounder. Plus Julio.
Right. Let's go Julio. I saw a chart the other day of the trades inside the top 10 since like 2003, and Julio Jones may be the only one that's worked.
Yeah.
I mean, those trades within the top 10, they don't work very often, and someone put it out there right after the Deion Jordan fiasco earlier this week.
Yeah. I mean, off the top of my head, it's Deion Jordan. RG3 is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Browns trade up for Trent Richardson?
I don't think they were in that spot.
They did something there for the Vikings, ended up moving down with Ryan Khalil. So, it's always, that's a big crapshoot.
Yeah, you fall in love with a guy, though. Mm-hmm. You convince yourself this is the guy in this year's draft, and you do what you have to do to go get that guy. And more often than not, you're probably better off just sitting where you are. Mm-hmm. Atlanta. They evaluated it, and they got it right with Julio Jones. As much criticism as they took for making that trade, they got it right with Julio. He's been a fantastic player since he got into the NFL. Brent Martineau going to join us next from live up there in Chicago. He had the opportunity to go to the Play 60 event yesterday, meet some of these guys that we're talking about potentially coming to the Jags here at 3. He joined us yesterday for the media mock draft and stumped hard for Leonard Williams. I wonder if 24 hours later he feels the same way, considering everyone's mind seems to be switching this way and that.
See, Brent is making the pick for Leonard Williams because he wants them to pick a guy who's currently in Chicago.
That makes some sense, too. Tell all those Jaguars.com guys, you know, if the pick's going to be Cooper, that they need to be wherever Cooper's going to be, right? Since what's the point of going up there?
Yeah.
Be kind to the guys who are covering your team. We'll see what ends up happening tonight. Brent Martineau going to join us next here as we continue along on a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today, draft day edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. A little more Chicago. I'm not sure Brent Martineau recognized that song, since I know how great he is with music. But Brent Martineau joining us now from Chicago, Illinois, the site of this year's NFL draft. Brent, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
No idea.
Yeah, it's
pathetic.
I knew to take me out to the ball game last night at Wrigley, okay?
Oh, see, now you got to throw that in there. Like, yeah, I'm in Chicago for the draft, and I just happened to catch a game at Wrigley. I'm tempted to hang up on you now, Brent.
How you guys doing? Are you ready for this thing? Have we figured it out? Do the Jags still have the third pick? What other questions are
you went to the event yesterday, talked to a bunch of the guys. Who stood out the most?
I think Dante Fowler did stick out to me, as you know, because I never interviewed him one-on-one like that before, and there is no doubt everything they say in terms of the passion, the confidence, the little swagger the guy has is right there. But I still kind of, you know, I asked him about how his fit to that Leo spot is, and he says it's fine. I don't know if the group totally, because I kind of think he might fall in between on the sides of that Leo spot. But,
I think we're
going
to have to give up on him.
What's that?
You're cutting in and out, Brent.
Oh, am I cutting in and out?
Yeah.
You're good now.
You're good now.
Okay, I'll stick right here. I won't walk.
Okay.
So
does he think his best fit is?
He thinks he fits fine in that Leo spot. You know, but I just kind of, I don't know if I disagree with him. I just question it just because of the weight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think. You know, is he as fast as some of those other guys might be at 247, 250? So it'll be something to keep an eye on in terms of if that does materialize. Obviously, if they pick him, they feel like he's okay there too, and he can get it done on that spot and maybe even that outside linebacker spot in the auto position too. Gives him a little bit of a hybrid. But, yeah, he definitely stuck out to me. The maturity level of Leonard Williams was clear too. He's a young guy, a big guy, but he's a mature individual, and I think would fit right in and make a big impact for this team. I think he just feels like he's almost 30 years old, you know, instead of 20 years old. So those are the two things that stuck out to me.
I tell you what, you know, on Leonard Williams, and I saw him at the combine, you saw him yesterday. Dude looks the part, doesn't he?
He really does. You know, I mean, it's just a big, massive guy, but not in the sense of where, you know, he can't move. I mean, you can tell that this guy can be very agile. But he's strong, you know, he's got man strength. You know, we kind of question like a guy like Jokel, you know, is he too young? Is he really matured into his body, you know, and got that man strength as a left tackle yet? I think, you know, there's definitely been some question marks about that, and probably not is the answer, at least from what we've seen on the field. I don't think there are any answers like that with this guy. I think he is a really strong guy. And, again, we'll come right in and make an impact wherever he ends up.
Brent Martineau with us live from up in Chicago. Of course, you can catch him on Fox 30 and CBS 47, as well as afternoons with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And I know not only did you have the opportunity to talk to some of these players and prospects, but that you chatted with Mike Mayock and Daniel Jeremiah as we're getting ready for the draft tonight. Any last-minute nuggets that they gave to you?
Well, I think the interesting part is they all vary, too. You know, I mean, I think they all have different opinions about where the Jags could go. And the word that we talked about a bunch was spirited, you know, because those were probably the conversations over these last couple of weeks, months, wherever this ended for the Jags brass, wherever those meeting rooms, you know, they kind of came to their conclusion because Dave Caldwell said he was ready to go pretty much last week if they had to. You know, they had some spirited debates that we've all had, you know, because some of these questions are legit. You know, they can go in this variety of ways. and they can go with the safer picks is what it appears, which would be on the defensive side of the football, or they can go fulfill more needs and really do what they said they do and put weapons around Blake Bortles and go after guys like Amari Cooper or Kevin White. So I think those are legitimate conversations that they had, that we've all had, and that those guys like Mayock and Jeremiah were bringing up. Now, Jeremiah really started to sell me a little bit on the Gurley concept. And take your pick. You know, I think we really talk about Gurley a lot, but I think Melvin Gordon is in this conversation, and I think the Jags will like him too. It just depends on where he would fall in that first round, you know, as a potential trade back or trade back in, as people are talking about a little bit this morning too. But he thinks those guys are difference makers. You know, he thinks, like I think Dave Caldwell mentioned during the luncheon last week, there is a fall off between those elite running backs, those two guys specifically, and then also from those elite pass catchers compared to the other ones. Now there's more depth, overall depth at the wide receiver position, I think, where you could see some talented guys emerge and go in the first round. But those that elite difference where it falls off the table a little bit is definitely clear to a lot of the experts.
Brent, three guys, Winston, Mariota, and Cooper, not attending tonight. I think the league should make it worth their while to attend. Do you think this is the start of a trend that should be, that sort of may lessen the people watching it?
Yeah, I don't think it is, because it's something mm-hmm. special with these guys. When you talked to them yesterday, and Ryan, you covered it up here in New York before too, that day before, and hanging out with their buddies and guys that they know and are going to get picked and being associated with them in this class, this is all part of the experience. I think it's cool for them. You know, I think there is something to that. Now, they all know they might be the guy that might slip down the board, and, you know, obviously the cameras will be on them. But I think all the guys that are not going, the Mariotas, the Winston and Cooper, are not going for good reasons. You know, Winston obviously said his grandmother, Mariota's family's way out in Hawaii. And, Cooper, to me, at least comes across as kind of a shy guy that doesn't really love all the attention in the cameras, and or a quiet guy, so I can see why he stayed back. Now, obviously, for everybody watching, it's going to be weird. If those three go off the board, you know, it's going to be really weird, because the commissioner's not going to have anybody with them for the first 45 minutes of the draft. And selfishly, we all hope, at least up here in Chicago, that Jags don't pick Cooper, because we'll have nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Follow up. Let's say the Jags stay at three, pick somebody. If Dave Caldwell makes a move to back into the bottom half of the first round, what position do you think he's going to prioritize there?
I think it would be running back. You know, I don't think you need another guy for wide receiver, unless he just feels like one of those, you know, that next tier wide receiver everybody's labeling as next tier is really more elite and can jump back in. But I don't think they just need another, say, second round pick. I mean, they've got those now in Robinson and Marquise Lee. I think they need elite, and we keep talking about they need blue chip stud guys. And if they feel that way about Gurley or Gordon and feel like they can come back up and get it, I think it's that position that they go get. Now, the only thing that could change that is, what if they did go get Amari Cooper with that third overall pick, and then there's one of those pass rushers that have fallen deep into that first round? Could they go up and get one of those guys? But see, I don't think they trade up for one of those questionable character pass rush guys.
Yeah,
I don't
agree.
Feel like they'll do that with Ray or Gregory, but I do feel like they'll do that with a Melvin Gordon potentially, say at number 24 or 26, where they can get back up. I think we got to be a little careful here. You don't need to compile a lot of picks if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've invested a lot in the draft already with the roster. They've invested in free agency with young guys on their second contracts. I don't think they need this quantity of draft picks this year. They don't need 10 of them. They need stud players. That is the consensus around the league, and I think in that building, is that they need blue-chip stud guys. And you know what? If they walk away with Amari Cooper and Melvin Gordon, they got two stud guys on that offense that they feel like, the draft's over for them. They won the draft. Mm-hmm. Who cares what they do the rest of the weekend?
Absolutely, and I totally agree with you. I think they're more apt to move up throughout the weekend and then move down, because you know, one thing that Dave Caldwell said to me a couple weeks ago is they don't feel they need to replace a bottom of the roster guy with another bottom roster guy. You hit it. They need studs, and that's that. You get those in the top 100 picks.
Yeah, you're getting 60. In a situation now, Ryan and Tony, that if you pick all those guys, if you pick seven, or if you compile more and you pick 8, 9, 10 guys, you're cutting draft picks. You know, you're cutting 6th, 7th round picks, and that's. Let's not say it's a waste. You create competition. I get it. But still, if you can go up and get two or three really, really good players instead of having, you know, one really good player and then five, let's see what happens kind of players, I think they'd rather do the two or three really good players.
I'll make a prediction here. The Jaguars end the Jaguars end up the weekend with five draft picks.
So they give two away. Yeah.
I would buy that. Yeah, then and I don't know where the cutoff is for them, Brian. I think obviously looking in the top three rounds where they've traded up, you know, they traded up to get Linder last year into that third round. So, you know, you can get a lot of value there. It doesn't have to be just in the late first round. But I've got the hunch, along with what you just said, I've really got the feeling. I know Casserly and Silver now are saying it this morning, but that they'll jump up into that late first round if a couple of guys are there. I think they have the luxury of doing that, which is really weird to say about a team that hasn't won a lot of games. But again, they're already invested with a lot of young guys. They have to let some of that play out now. They don't need just more competition there just to have it.
And that's true because, like, people around the country ask me, well, I assume they need a lot of positions. Well, they've been able to narrow their focus, even though they're 3-13 last year, because, let's face it, they're banking on guys that are already here. You know,
they
can't just go anywhere.
They're banking on those offensive line guys that they've put in there, at least for another year, to see how Joko pans out, and obviously the Bowankos and Linders of the world. But I also think they're banking on those wide receivers to grow and emerge. Now, you can't count on all three of them to be Pro Bowl guys. I get it. But they want Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns to grow and see how far they can get up the ladder. You know, see if one of those or maybe two of those guys become studs. So there's two major things I'm dealing with in this draft, guys, I wrestle with, and I'm sure they have, and we all have, really. Do they go get who I think is that best player on their board, and that's Leonard Williams? Do they go get that side of the ball, even though they don't necessarily need it, but you go get that blue chipper we're talking about? Or do you go fulfill what you said you were going to do right when this offseason started and get weapons around the quarterback? I think it's a great debate and something I really can't figure out, to be quite honest with you.
Just about 9 hours away from this team being on the clock up there in Chicago in the first round of the NFL draft. Thank you so much for joining us for a few minutes today, Brent.
You got it, guys. It's going to be a fun day.
Hey, Brent, last thing.
Yeah.
When can we see you on TV tonight?
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. A new Action Sports Jax look tonight, 10:30 on Fox 30. We have a half-hour show, guys, on the draft, so we'll have immediate reaction from here and, of course, from Everbank as well. And I'll be on the newscast throughout the day, too, noon, 5, 6 on CBS and Fox 30. But appreciate it. Plus, Halloran is joining us on Sunday night to recap this entire thing, and I think he'll give it a grade, so we'll have to get your grade on Sunday night, O'Halloran.
And that's the reason I gave you a chance to plug your TV.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
Yeah, you can check them out tonight at 10:30 as they talk about both draft picks for the Jaguars in the first round from Brent Martineau. Thank you so much to him for joining us from Chicago at Brent A.S. Jackson. Of course, I'm sure he'll be on with the boys this afternoon a little bit with Frank and Rick as they get ready for the draft party this afternoon. I know you're going to be back on with Rick today as well for that 4 to 5 o'clock hour, correct?
Yep.
As we get ready for the draft party here at the stadium. Before we get to the draft party, though, do want to let people know we have a 4-pack of tickets to go check out your football club here in town. That would be soccer. The Jacksonville Armada, home for the second time this year. They've been away for a month. They play San Antonio on Saturday at 7:30 over at the baseball grounds, Community First Park. If you want to get your hands on that 4-pack of tickets, it's Saturday night at 7:30 is the game. You can just be caller number 3 right now at 641-1010. We'll hook you up with a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Jacksonville Armada take on the San Antonio Scorpions. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a moment. What do you want to see happen with the Jags and that number 3 pick tonight in the NFL draft? We'll get to some of your answers. If you still want to submit one, you can at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/JaguarsToday, as we get ready for the NFL draft tonight. It is a Thursday edition of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Congratulations to Matthew going out to see the Armada this weekend. I've heard rumor we may have another 4-pack of tickets to give away for that game tomorrow here on the program. And I'm sure there's some more tickets going out throughout the afternoon and into the evening here on 1010XL as well. So keep listening for your chances to win those. The fan feedback spotlight, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Ask Jaguars fans, what drives you? Today in the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight, we ask you, what do you want to see happen with that number 3 pick tonight for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's right, it's tonight. Isaiah chimes in with Jags pick Vic Beasley. Hashtag pick Vic. There's been a crew of those for the last several months of the pick Vic. From Cristiano, traded to the Eagles for a Kings ransom. I'm not sure they can get down to 20, and I don't see a scenario where Cleveland wants to cooperate with Philadelphia enough to allow that 12 pick to be involved that doesn't end up with Cleveland getting Marcus Mariota, yeah. But the Eagles do wind up with that quarterback. Just can't see that happening. From Twisty, Falcons trade up to 3 with Jags, and Jags pick Kevin White at number 8. Hashtag NFL Draft 2015. From at Irish Jaguar, Leonard Williams. There are 3 from Eric. I want to see a trade with Cleveland for 12 and 19 for Gurley and Dupree. If no trade, Leonard Williams. From David, trade with Cleveland, get Gurley and Dupree, then Lockett at 36. I do like Lockett. Cooper, if we stay at 3. From Cam, regardless of who they pick, as long as they get better, I'll be happy. Hashtag draft and Avengers in one night. Enjoy the Avengers, my friend. I'm having to wait until tomorrow to go see it just with everything else I got going on tonight. But enjoy it, Cam. And from Black Dog Express, Jags have to move them chains. Defense got wore out late in games. Take Cooper and a real running back. Hashtag give to rest. Hashtag Jaguars today. So that's from Black Dog. In the end, you know, with just a few minutes left here, Ryan, what do you think?
Oh, yes. 2 hours flown by.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen tonight with that third pick?
I think it's going to be a defensive player, and I think they're going to look at their board and say Williams is too good to pass up.
Yeah,
and I think that'll be the guy, and it'll be a great pick, and because they're basically taking the number one player on a lot of teams' boards, so it's and then you know once that pick happens, that's when the intrigue starts for this franchise in terms of what else they do the rest of the weekend.
Sure. Sure. And it really does set up what else they're going to do. Like we're talking about the scenarios where they trade back in to the first round potentially. I think that you can draft Leonard Williams and still say, look, Melvin Gordon is at 25, 26, whatever now. Let's go back up and get that guy. And I think that's a home run of an evening for the Jags if they find a way to come away with two guys they feel like are blue chippers. Because that conversation we just had with Brent, I think it's right on. Mm-hmm. I think this team feels like they got enough guys competing for spots, right? They got enough guys that it's like we want to see what's going to happen with them. I think they really do need one or two just this is the man. Mm-hmm. Like when we have the ball on offense, try to stop Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Try to stop this. Like they need some of that on that side of the ball, and they need it on the defensive side of the ball too, which is why a guy like Leonard Williams or whoever they feel like is the best Leo available to him in the draft is so intriguing to me at number 3. But I get the sense right now that it's going quarterback, 1-2 somehow. So unless the Jags get something of an offer from the Jets or the Falcons that they're comfortable with, my guess is that Leonard Williams would be the pick if they're there at 3. If Leonard Williams goes 2, I'm probably leaning Dante Fowler Jr. would be my lean, but I would understand the pick of Cooper there at number 3 if Leonard Williams came off the board.
And if it goes quarterback, if I'm the Jags, why would you trade out?
If you felt about the same about a bunch of guys,
yeah.
But they haven't indicated that they felt that. We got the indication that they felt that Dave Caldwell said, I know who I would take. It's probably down to whether you want offense or defense, right? But it felt like it was down to two guys for them as far as the debate internally about what was going to happen with that number 3 pick. And if it's down to 2 guys, no, you're not trading to 6. Mm-hmm. You're not trading to 8 unless you get blown away by the offer that they're going to give you. For a team that we just talked about needing blue chippers, they're not going to give up the chance to get what they feel like is the blue chip of this draft unless they get an offer that puts them in a position to maintain that kind of level of player that they're going to bring in. I just can't see it happening. Just can't see it happen.
Yeah.
Now, I could see them getting back into the first round, potentially, if they felt like one of those guys was slipping down into the bottom end of the first round. But I don't see them moving out of 3 to 6 or 8 if it really is down to just 2 players in their mind.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening. Let's get back out to the phone lines one last time at 641-1010. Charlie has dialed us up. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well.
I know it's about time to get off the radio, but I'm excited about talking to you guys. I'm excited about tonight. I took a half a day off just to get some of this stuff heard so I can watch.
Yes,
but
like
here's
it.
Here's what I want to say. If we want to hit a grand slam, I think we ought to take Todd Gurley, even if it's number three. Can you imagine the three wide receivers we already got with Blake Bortles and the tight end and Gurley in the backfield? Nobody will put eight in the box against us then, and we can really do some damage on offense. I'm just so excited I can't hardly wait. I hope they pick somebody really great, but if it was my choice, my pick, it would be Todd Gurley.
All right, Charlie, appreciate the call, buddy.
If he was healthy, that would make sense.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier this week. Take a step back, right? As a Jaguars fan out there, take a step back with me for a moment and think about, are they took Luke Jokel at number two that year. What other choice did they really have? There wasn't a whole lot in that draft. Maybe they could go Ziggy Ansah, but he was such a boom or bust type prospect. Is that really where you're going to go? Your GM had come out and said left tackle, quarterback, defensive end. That's what you want to get if you're in that kind of position, right? Which is why I still kind of lean towards the defensive end position even in this year's draft because they've addressed those other two. But they go Jokel. Last year, they go with Blake Bortles, number three overall, a quarterback out of Central Florida. Right? That a lot of fans didn't even, they hadn't watched him play much, didn't know much about him. Imagine if in back-to-back years, your general manager at the number three spot in the draft drafts a quarterback out of Central Florida that you don't know much about and a running back coming off an ACL injury. The gumption to believe that much in your own right evaluation process to say, I'm taking a quarterback that nobody knows much about, and the next year I'm going to take a running back coming off an ACL because I believe in his talent. That's, I mean, he better believe in his evaluation if that's the kind of thing he's going to do.
Yeah, that would be a stunner.
Yeah. Gurley would be a stunner. And by the way, we talked about this last week when you were in here, but if tonight at that draft party, if Todd Gurley is the name called at number three, I think this stadium would go bananas.
Yeah.
I think that the fans in the city would go crazy for Todd Gurley to be the pick at three. I think that a lot of people would go crazy for Amari Cooper if he was the pick at three. And I think a lot of people would be, all right, if it's Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper or, excuse me, Dante Fowler, that a lot of people would be in here going, okay,
Okay,
I get it. That's reasonable for this team to do with that pick. But the exciting picks are Gurley 1 and Cooper 2. And honestly, if it wasn't for the ACL, I think the conversation about Todd Gurley this whole time would have been completely different. And you could make a really strong argument for why he should be the pick at number 3. But in the end, it is a running back coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah.
Just how much can you trust that third pick overall? I get it. You got to get blue chippers, and he feels like one. Right at that running back position, everyone wants to compare him to Marshawn Lynch, but still, that ACL, I just can't imagine investing the third overall pick in that.
Yeah, I can't. So, but if let's, you know, I think he's an option if they move down. But like I said, I'd be surprised if they do move down. And I think you guys are talking to a third overall pick here in the studio tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so too. But if they were like. If the group that they're talking, debating about is as big as 5 or 6, and if Todd Gurley is among that group, and then the Jets come calling, like if you traded down to 6 or 8 and took Todd Gurley and you got something else on top of that, now it's like, okay, you know, I totally get that. Now, at the same time, I'm of the same mind as Mike with this kind of stuff. If he's good enough for me to pick at 8, why isn't he good enough for me to take at 3?
Well, come up with that, follow that. If you take him at 8, it probably means you have an extra pick in your satchel for later. So that would be the reason.
Sure. And I am the – whoever's at the top of their draft board needs to be the guy they pick. Mm. And if that's Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper or Todd Gurley or Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley or Bud Dupree, whoever that guy is needs to be the guy they pick. And you stand by your conviction on whoever that guy happens to be when everything is said and done. With the position this team is in. Go get yourself a blue chipper at 3 or 6 or 8 or 12 or 19, wherever it's going to be. Go get yourself a stud tonight in the NFL draft, and hopefully he does sit in here with me tomorrow on Jaguars Today, whoever it happens to be. All right, Ryan, you'll be back with Rick Ballew this afternoon.
4 o'clock, 4 to 5 with Rick, and then doing an online chat on Jacksonville.com from 6 to 7. And then the draft starts at 8, so we'll have stuff all weekend. Like we have the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So Looking forward to it.
Yep. I'll talk to Mike Dempsey again tomorrow live from up there in Chicago, and we'll be talking about whatever they happen to do in the first round of tonight's draft. Hopefully, again, the first round pick, whoever it happens to be, will be joining me in studio here live tomorrow for Jaguars Today as well. We'll join the boys of XL Primetime, welcome them into the draft day conversation. T-Wig, Hacker, Joe C, as we roll along here on a Thursday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.